Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I've got this lovely lady with me, Tamara Simon. Now, Tamara and I got to know each other a little while ago, a couple of years ago, while we were doing some courses together. And what I found out about Tamara is that she is the Simple Systems Specialist, and it's known as BSI. You're going to go, what the? But wait till you get into this, because you're going to really learn a whole lot of stuff about putting systems in place within your business. So with Tamara, sort of when most people see things as they are, I found that she actually sees things differently. She sees things in systems, which reveals how things can be, which is a pretty awesome way to see things. So Tamara is a speaker and an author and a coach, and I've learned that she's driven by curiosity and change and simplicity, and she now helps small businesses solve problems and find untapped opportunities so they can implement simple systems which save time and make money. And I know you can do that with a whole lot less stress when you've got systems in place. Hence why I've got Tamara with us today, because it's going to be ways to save time and money and reduce stress, which is important for all of us in business. So Tamara has over 20 years experience in change management and business improvement, and she specializes in helping her clients get really clear on their business, on the people and systems, so businesses become simple, profitable, and something that people actually love as well. Now, Tamara has published her first two business books, which included first book was especially for RTOs, and you may have seen them around. They're called The Five Little Business Pigs and The Five Little RTO Pigs. And Tamara's leadership and management expertise was recognised as a finalist in the Queensland Telstra Business Awards, a Business Women's Awards, which is a real high accolade. It doesn't just come along easily. And also she was Australian Institute of Management's Excellence Awards. Tamara is a co-founding contributing author for Smallville. For those that are aware, that's a website for small business owners who think big. And her articles are also being published by the Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Queensland and for the Women's Network Australia. So welcome, Tamara. That's just awesome. And I know systems are things that people are going to go, oh, really? But I've heard you speak, and this is going to be really interesting.
Thank you very much, Janine. I really appreciate the opportunity. And hello to all your listeners out there. And yes, look, systems, not the sexy, exciting thing, but most essential.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard you speak recently at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I organised, but it really made me think, oh my gosh, I could save so much time and effort by just putting in some simple systems, which you're going to give us some hints through this, so it'll be worthwhile. Hang around and listen, even if you're going, systems is not my thing.
Yeah, that's right. Please hang around.
Especially if it's not your thing.
Yeah, especially if it's not your thing. That's who we want to talk to, because it's generally it isn't everyone's thing. And that's the challenge around it, because we go, oh, it's too hard, or it's boring, or I don't need it. And unfortunately, they're the traps that we fall into.
Yeah. So what got you into doing that, Tamara?
Oh, look, I think I've always been the checklist and the template person, and prior to setting up the business in 2002, all my employment life, when I look back on it, has been going in to fix problems, but I didn't really know that at the time. And I've always left organisations in a better place. So, you know, one of my first jobs was working with Department of Housing, and I worked on the front counter. And in my spare time, because it wasn't always busy, I wrote the processes. I wrote the script so that when people relieved me at lunch, because they had to reluctantly, at least they knew what to do. And consistency, you know, occurred for clients and things like that. So I've always gone in and fixed things and put you know, developed what's required for organisations so that they can not only build but grow. And then I moved on. Wow. So I sort of go, challenge done. Let's look at something else. So I'm not really the maintenance person when I've been in employment. I sort of go, well, I fixed that. Someone else can now maintain it. and I'll move on to the next challenge. And I suppose that's why I do what I do with clients is go in and fix and solve some problems and find some opportunities and then, you know, be that support as the maintainer, but not necessarily the actual doer as part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, and that's not a skill that everybody has, is to be able to look at a situation or an issue or a problem or not even if that it's a problem, but just identify something that go, I think we could do this easier if we had systems. And I love the idea of a script and putting something that, and this is, I've been in a lot of different businesses, and this is the thing, is when you hand over a particular role, then how can someone else do it? And I know within my business, thinking about handing over to a VA. That's all right. It's been a good morning. I haven't been drinking, I promise. Handing it over That's to a right. visual assistant that, how am I going to teach her to do what I do? But by having a system, that's obviously going to help, isn't it?
Oh, look, absolutely. And it's a great point that you bring up, Janine, because that's exactly what I did with one of my clients, because she said, I need to get some help tomorrow. So I've decided to get a, you know, VA. And I said, great. What are you going to get them to do? She said, I'm not sure. I said, well, how about we work that out first? And then she said, I'll just get them to do some admin and answer my phone and that. And I said, okay, so have you got, you know, scripts, frequently asked questions? Have you got some processes? Oh, no. And I said, but, well, how will they know what to do? Won't you just be spending all your time backwards and forwards with them? Oh, yeah. That's probably a good point, Tamara. So, like, we developed the VA kit so that the person had template emails and frequently asked questions and knew what the boundaries and expectations about what their role was versus what they then needed to come back to the business owner. So, therefore, it was a good investment of time and money for both parties, because otherwise you're just wasting time. And then we go, oh, no, the VA didn't work. And you go, really? did we set them up to fail, you know, inadvertently, you know, not obviously consciously, but that's what we do. Mm. Oh, the person hasn't worked well tomorrow? Go, yeah, but let's look at what we gave them in the first instance. If we gave them no training, if we gave them no clarity, if we gave them no direction, that was written down, because talking is great, but we need the next bit so that people can remember and have something to fall back on. You know, that's where we get stuck. And we think people are the problem, but generally they're not.
Yeah. And that's really important. And on that VA thing, you know, I know I spoke to somebody and what they did was they actually videoed what they wanted done as well, which is another way of doing it, same as writing it down. But again, you still have to know what you want to video. You know, at some level, Absolutely. You have to start looking through all of the processes that you do and then figure out how you can pass that information on and how it can be replicated the way you want it replicated.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I mean, take the bookkeeper. Oh, we'll just outsource the bookkeeper, because that's great. That's generally the first thing that we want help with when we've got cash flow at a point. But we actually haven't got anything written down which says, well, this expense goes into this account and I code my, you know, receipts and invoices this way and this is how I do it. And then that first probably 3 to 6 months, you know, there's the struggle with the bookkeeper, because they're, you know, it's like pulling teeth and stuff. And they go, oh, but I'm spending all this money on the bookkeeper and all I'm doing is helping them. And go, yeah, but we didn't give them the bit that we needed to give them in the first instance as part of that. So, you know, that's where those really good foundations are important. But we go, oh, I haven't got time to do that, Janine. I haven't got time. And you go, yeah, but what's it costing you now not to? Because time is money.
I've got a friend who's a bookkeeper, and what you've said is just one of her biggest issues with clients. And it costs them more because she spends longer doing the job. So it's great for her.
Yeah. And the thing is, puts up her bank balance.
Correct. But it's frustrating for her too, because she knows that I'll be able to do this really quickly if I had this information.
Yeah.
And And the thing is, once you set up these systems, they're repeatable. So if that bookkeeper didn't work out, let me find another bookkeeper. Yeah. Here is my information. So again, you're not having to start the process all over again.
Well, that's right. And I think too often we forget about our clients in our businesses. You know, we forget that they actually need some information, because we've got two lots of clients. We've got internal clients, whether that's ourselves as the business owner, if we don't have staff, or we've got our team. But we've also got obviously our clients that pay us. But geez, we make life hard for them, because, you know, we don't give them information except verbally. And then we wonder why they keep coming back to us asking us questions. You know, we don't give them frequently asked questions. We don't give them templates to sign things and stuff like that. So, you know, the more we put ourselves in terms of the other person, wouldn't life be a whole lot easier for everybody? But it's time. And we've got to suck it up and do the things that will get our businesses to the next level.
Yes. And it's, we can all always argue that it's time, that we don't have enough time. But it's a bit of that catch-22 situation, isn't it? We don't have enough time because we are repeating the same things over and over again, as opposed to having done it once and then we just can hand it out, or we just follow a script, or here's the template, here's the letter.
Here's the template email. Oh, hang on, no, I'll just, I think this is the example I gave, you know, when at Logan Chamber was, I wrote to that person, you know, about 3 weeks ago, and I reckon the similar email, I'll just go and find it. And it might only be 5 minutes, but if we're doing that, you know, 10, 12 times a day, if my math's right, there's an hour that if we just had a couple of little, you know, template emails set up in, you know, in our systems, that we just copy and paste, that's a whole lot quicker. So it's where can we find, you know, where can we find the 5 minutes a bit more, so that they all start adding up to, wow, now I've got an hour a day back. It's trying to find the little stuff, which then adds up to the bigger stuff.
Yes, and I'm really guilty of that.
I am too, you know, because we're all busy doing the work and talking to clients and doing the sales and doing the marketing. But, you know, it's, you know, I always say to people, just start with 15 minutes a day. We can all find 15 minutes a day and say, that's what I'm going to do to start writing my processes. Just 15 minutes. You know, if you can then expand that to four lots of 15 minutes, well, then you're doing, you know, an hour a day that you weren't doing yesterday, and 5 hours plus, you'd be surprised at how quickly, you know, you will pick up some time and have some written process and go, wow. You know, if we're focused, then it makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's that you've got it in place. And I was guilty of too is, if I go looking for the emails, my sent box, I delete my delete box, but my sent box is where I go, oh no, I've sent that person. Yeah. I sent that to, you know, Jenny the other day. So now I'm going to send it to Louise and I'll just cut and paste it and send it through. And
that's right.
That's where I file all of those templates, is on previous emails.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And look, we all do that. But if we can, you know, say, well, I'm just going to spend 15 minutes and I'm going to copy that, you know, one or two sent mails just to have them there, or have them in drafts ready to go, so that they don't have to have the person's name in there, or you've highlighted the bits that you know you need to change for each person. Again, it just makes it a little bit quicker. And it's a start.
And you know, because my organisation mind, I'm thinking I could just have that file that just says templates.
That's right.
That would be really easy to find there. You know?
Exactly right, Janine. And that's what I usually do with clients. Let's set up an email template, and you might have five or six of them in there, or, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've probably got a book email template, you know, if when people purchase your book, like I do, that you send off to them, thank you very much, and blah, 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 you know. So it's just capturing that.
And doing that, having something set up in process, means that you don't forget to do it as well. For somebody that's done your course or bought your book or purchased something from you, instead of going, oh, I meant to send them an email to say thank you, because you've got that template set up and it's part of a process system. Okay, they bought a book, send an email, say thank you. You know, that's part of your system for that. Then you don't forget, and then you've got more opportunity to build relationships and build further business with that person as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the connection.
Yeah, it just all makes sense, doesn't it? So you know, we've covered a couple of things, but what do you see as the main problems of people that you're dealing with within business? What do you come across?
So I'm seeing firstly what I call the reluctant business owner. So and I think most of us are this. I think there's, you know, let's say maybe 20% of people that, you know, they're the kids who've always had businesses, you know, growing up and all that sort of stuff, and they've known this is what I've always wanted to do. But I think most people, and certainly myself, I'd never had a goal that I would own a business. I fell into it. It was an opportunity and went, oh yeah, okay, I can do that. And it was just to train people. And I think for most of us, we set up our businesses because an opportunity comes along, or we look at our boss and go, I can do it better than you. And so we're doing the thing that we're really good at. We are what they call the technician, you know, for yourself and myself, it's speaking and other things. And for other people, it might be that they're the architect or the marketer or something like that. But for most of us, we forget that there's all these other things that we need in order to run a business. We've got to be good at sales. We've got to be good at marketing. We've got to know our financial numbers. We've got to write really good processes. We've got to be not only, you know, in the business, getting the money and doing the work, but we've got to be working on the business. We've got to be thinking about how can I be setting up this long term, you know, who's got the clients that I want, all those type of things. And so it's this, I think we should be wearing, you know, the business owner tag as a badge of honor, you know, because we're brave people, you know, and I think we forget that, because this gig isn't for everyone. And I think there's two parts to that. One is I think you've got to decide whether, you know, you really want to embrace everything that comes with being a business owner, because, you know, I talk to a lot of business owners and some of it is, yeah, but that's happening because you've let that go, or that's happening because you've avoided that, or that's happening, you know, because maybe that's not your skill set and but you're reluctant to ask for help. You know, and I think all of us, that's also where we need to be brave and go, but every successful person hasn't done it on their own. No one is successful in sport, in business, in life on their own. We all need to get help from people who've been there, done that, whatever it might be, because we can't be good at everything that we need.
Now, so, that's one of the, you know, that's one of the points that I am always speaking to women about as well, because I think we've got this false sense of expectation within ourselves that we have to be good at everything. If we're not, we're a failure. That's just the way it is. And, and we can all thank our mothers and media and our grandmothers and all the generations that have come before us that have gifted us with that belief system that we have to be expert at everything. And when you get into business, you've got a whole different level of things that wasn't happening in your, you know, necessarily your grandmother didn't need to know, but you've got to cover that as well as being a wife and a parent and a good friend and a healer and you know, a shoulder to cry on sometimes, as well as all of those points that you've made out. And that's something that I talk to women about, is just give yourself a break, but get help doing the things that you either don't like doing or you're not good at.
And look, absolutely. And so I think, you know, I see a lot of business owners running very expensive, what I call hobby businesses.
So do I.
And you know, and I think there's a lot out there saying, oh, just, you know, work out what your passion is and you know, do a business around that. And it was interesting. I was at a conference last week, and Naomi Simpson from Red Balloon and Shark Tank was talking. And I loved it, because one of the things she said, which I've always said, is not every idea is a profitable business. And I think, too, you know, it's working out, A, what are we really good at? And then B, have we got, are there people out there with the capacity to buy at the price point that we're selling? Because, you know, part of that is if you're running a business, it has to be profitable. I don't care if that profit is $1. You know, I don't, whatever the monetary figure is for yourself, but it's got to pay all the bills, even in the not-for-profit space. It's got to cover things. So, you know, there's a lot of business owners out there that are, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, and but running very expensive hobbies. So, you know, I'm a little bit sometimes about the tough love, Janine, and you know, and
oh, look, it makes sense. I'm at events every week. I'm at events with women in what you calling hobby businesses, and I see them working so hard and putting so much time and effort into them.
Yeah,
but again, they're placing themselves in, usually if it's that type of market where it's other women in micro businesses, who they, especially the ones that haven't got the right product, the ones that have got the right product. You know, we did a thing with one of the groups that I meet with monthly and have done for a few years. We did a thing last Christmas that we all had to stand up and count the number of people in the room that we dealt with. And it was the last man standing. And that was actually me because I dealt with 15 of the women in the room as clients. And also that, and you added more that I'd bought from them as well. But there were women that had been coming for years and years and years that had, did not have a single client at that room. And that's for why you're doing it. You know, that's that's part of even a system within that, isn't it? Finding your business. Your business model.
Well, that's right. And you know, who is your ideal client? Because if you know, if your listeners out there go, "Oh, it's everyone." And I go, "No, it's not." As we know,
I hate that.
It's not. You know, I can help everyone too, but the reality is that not everyone has capacity to pay. And I'm sure that, you know, like I have and I'm sure you have and I know you have, Janine, you know, we give a lot of our knowledge and time away for free, but there still comes to a point where people have to, you know, pay on the dotted line and that's fine. So not everyone is ready for us. Not everyone is ready and they may never be ready for me. Or, you know, you or your listeners' business, but they may be ready down the track. So, you know, that reluctant business owner concept I talk about is really saying it's a bit of soul searching to say, if you've been doing this for a while, then let's really look at, are you actually a business owner and want to be that, which means you've got to, you know, build a bridge, let's get over it, step up into it. Because if you don't have the cash flow to actually engage people to help you, then you have to do it. You know, or you shut the business down, or you say, you know what, I'm actually a really good employee and I need someone else to actually run my business. But that, you know, and you've got to make those hard calls. But continuing to plow money into something that is just not viable and burning yourself to the ground, you know, if you don't cope well with money not coming in consistently like a paycheck does, then, you know, that's one of the first things to work out because it isn't for everyone. And I don't think that, you know, if you decide, you know, this isn't for me, that doesn't mean that you failed because you know what? You gave it a go. And people, you know, some people don't do that.
No.
But if, you know, but if you are the business owner, you got to do all of it and you've got to work out how to manage that and to get the advice and to get the expertise. Otherwise, nothing will change because we know if nothing changes, nothing changes.
And then, of course, then developing the systems are critical to that business success then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am seeing the light.
and that's why I say, look, it's hard. You know, when I talk about systems, because, look, this is not what most people, you know, they either avoid it because they go, oh, it's just me tomorrow. I don't need systems. And I go, so that means that you never want to sell the business, you never want to grow the business, or you never want to get help. That's actually what you're telling me. And I said, well, that's what we're talking about, you know, but even if you don't want to go down that pathway, if you think, well, it's just me, I don't need to do much, now put yourself in your client's shoes. Surely they should be getting a consistent experience in terms of invoicing, in terms of when they sign on the dotted line, in terms of follow up and all of that. But it takes time to build that, you know, and it will never be done. You just got to get it to 80% and get it out there and keep working on it because, you know, I've had people say, well, how long does it take tomorrow, you know, if we just did this? And I said, well, you know, it is a little bit how long is a piece of string because it depends on your industry. But in most instances, if you did nothing else, which we know we can't because we can't shut our businesses down because that doesn't pay the bills and we starve, you know, but you're probably looking at a 6 to 12 month investment of time of just chipping away at constantly building and writing your processes because they're in every facet. Systems are everything. So finance and administration and sales and marketing and website and social media and on it goes. But once you've got them and invested that time and money, then you're in that sweet spot of going, now I'm into maintenance. Now I'm just keeping it going. And this is where life gets a whole lot better. But it's short-term pain for long-term gain, which I know probably everyone goes, well, I didn't want to hear that, yeah. You know.
But once it's done, it's done. I mean, time moves forward. Yeah. I know when I started studying a very long time ago, my friends, it was a four-year part-time thing, and my friend said to me, oh, my God, you're going to be 40 when you finish. Yep. And I thought, I'm going to be 40 in 4 years anyway. But in the meantime, I will have all that study behind me and the certificate that says I've done it. It's 'cause so time will move on anyway, correct, whether you do something or not. So whether you decide 12 months down the track, oh, gee, that was a really good idea that Tamara had, that I should have done systems, that if I had started that 12 months ago and did that 15 minutes a day, then I would be – I'd have a whole lot of those now, because time will go anyway.
It does. So
it just makes a lot of sense.
It does. And it's funny you say time will go, Janine, because right in front of me is the quote by Earl Nightingale, which says, never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. You know, so if, you know, and I keep that in front of me because, you know, this is a hard gig. There's, you know, it's not all roses every single day. And you're working. I work from home. So I'm either out talking or visiting clients, or I work from home. And, you know, it can get lonely. And I'm sure with a lot of your listeners, you go, oh, it's tough. So it's about saying, you've got to decide and have that honest conversation with yourself of going, is this actually what I want? And if it is, then I have to step up into that space, and I have to start today, and I have to start chipping away at that. And if not, then I've at least given it a go. But if we're a business owner, let's wear it as a badge of honor rather than going, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a business owner. Like, it's sort of like this, you know, mumble thing rather than going, oh, I own a business. I own a small business. Isn't that fantastic? You know, it's a great thing because the world needs us. But it needs us to be successful.
All right. And Tamara, so, you know, thinking about that for systems for the, you know, the people that I coach, the masterminds, and everyone that's listening to this, I know it's something that when we're talking about small business and we're, you know, thinking it's a hobby business or our own, you know, passion that we love, it can't always be, you know, there's been rush to success, you know, that overnight success that everyone expects, can it?
No, definitely not, you know, and it reminds me in one of my presentations I show this slide about, you know, what business success looks like, and everyone thinks it's a bit of a straight line, you know, you start a little bit or even like a stepping stone as you sort of go up a ladder, but it's really not. It's higgledy-piggledy. You know, I always say that my business story is like snakes and ladders, and that one just relates to me because I've gone up, I've gone down, I've gone sideways to go backwards to go up. And I think for a lot of us, particularly, you know, until we're really trying to get that traction and clarity, and I mean, I've had my business since 2002 and it has gone through at least three machinations to now get to here where I'm much more clear. That's good English, isn't it? Much more clear. But I'm very clear in terms of, you know, the markets that I serve and the types of services and stuff like that. You sort of think, God, you know, have you taken so long to get there? But the business journey is often, particularly in a service-based business, I believe, product's a little bit different. But I think if the brand is you and you're providing some form of service, it can go, you know, where a particular client group wants to take you for a little bit or stuff like that. So it's definitely not an overnight success, but you've got to be continuously learning. I am still, you know, everything is not done in my business, you know, because we've got to be continually looking, you know, technology and social media is now the big thing. And I have said for a long time that I'm still on my L plates. And, you know, they're the skills that you sort of buy in and get expertise in and stuff like that. But particularly from a systems point of view, it is two steps forward, eight steps back until you start to get that traction. But, you know, what's it costing us to not invest that time and money into all of the aspects of our business? It's costing us a lot.
Yes. And I know I'm working here this morning. I'm, you know, I have a system with my with my goals that I want to achieve each day. I just write three things down. But I've had an interview and I've done a few different things, but I've also got distracted and I've just found, because I'm quite a creative and I love doing, you know, anything to do with Canva and things, and I've gone off on this little track this morning, which I don't do it as much as most people, but I know that I'm justifying, no, that'll be important to do that, but it's then coming back to a system, isn't it, that going, oh, no, that wasn't in the plan today, Janine. Didn't you see those goals on the list?
Well, look, exactly right. And I think, I mean, you know, everyone calls them differently. I call them the shiny objects. Mm-hmm. And I think for all of us, it's, are we clear, you know, how many business owners don't have, and you would see it, I'm sure, Janine, with the clients that you work with, they don't have the one-page business plan in terms of, here's my ultimate thing I'm looking to achieve this year, here's my three things, key strategies, and here's what I'm going to do each quarter, and be quite focused on that so that when the shiny objects come in, we are able to make better business decisions about, well, is that opportunity or is that a shiny object? And so for me, an example of that is, lots of people have said to me, you should do your own podcast tomorrow. And my answer is, at the moment, that would be a shiny object that will take me away from what I'm actually looking to do. But the strategy has got merit, because for me, it would take so long to learn the technology and set it all up and blah, blah, blah. Whereas I'd prefer to do exactly what I'm doing now, which is talk on other people's podcasts, because that aligns with my goals and where I want to be in terms of spreading my message, but I don't need to do it myself. So you're leveraging off. So the concept of podcasting is myself a shiny object at the moment, but being on other people's, absolutely a fantastic strategy, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. So we've got to work those things out. Is it shiny objects that we go, oh, that's a good thing, and then we excuse it later going, oh, we shouldn't have, or is it actually opportunity? Because as small businesses, we need to be flexible to be able to jump much quicker than big business, because there are lots of opportunities out there. But clarity provides that.
Yeah, and that's what gives the small business person that opportunity, that flexibility and adaptability, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you said a one-page business plan. So all of us should have a one-page business plan. And what would be included on that one-page business plan?
So the template I use with my clients, firstly, I actually change the name of it. I change it from business plan to business intent, because for all of us, we can plan and plan and plan, but sometimes that doesn't actually go ahead. So by calling it an intent, it's just a language shift, but I found that that has been a lot more successful with business owners, including obviously myself, and it enables us to put a better connection into what we're actually doing. So mine look at, as I said, you know, the one big thing that is the overall objective, and it could be that you want to raise your profile, you know, across the year and stuff like that. And then how are you doing that? So for me, there's three, you know, different strategies, because I'm all about the threes. And that's the thing with business plans. You know, I've either seen people's that either is, you know, 27,000 pages long that they wrote maybe right at the beginning, and like, although that's important, I think we get too caught up sometimes in the detail of it, because then it just gets shelved because we just get busy doing. Oh, well, I've done the analysis and I think there's a market. Great. But here's my focus of what I'm actually going to do, and breaking that down to each quarter, every 90 days, where am I at to achieve those bigger things? And then within mine, I've got some headings and stuff like sort of strategy and marketing. So breaking down what's needed in the particular functions within the business. And again, it's about three activities, because we all want to achieve 27 things. And the reality is that we actually should be very focused in terms of, you know, three things each quarter, and then three things for this month, three things for this week, three things for today. Because anything more, our brain just explodes a little bit, but the unexpected comes in and all of those type of things. So rather than set ourselves up to fail, let's have clarity and focus and say, this is what I'm doing. And if I achieve those three things first thing in the morning, straight away, then look at the bonus stuff that's going to come, you know, as part of that, because I see a lot of unrealistic expectations. I'm going to do all these things tomorrow. And I go, really? Have you got financial ability to do that, capacity and capability? Because that's also the decision making that needs to come into play when we set those things.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I like the idea of threes actually, because that's what I work on with my golf and that sort of thing as well. And also presenting, you know, things are done in threes. Yeah. It makes it people receive it well. But I hadn't thought of it necessarily. Oh, I do, because even the goal setting plans that I write for people, they're done in three different strategies, three different tasks, three different key things. So it's basically the similar thing as that, but it's being written and said differently. So that's
I mean, you would know, Janine, in terms of a sales thing, it's the good, better and best option. You know, we know that that's the type of thing that we're doing for services and all of that. So people cope with three. Mm. Anything more, choice complicates the sale.
Yes.
And the same thing works in our businesses.
Yeah. No, exactly right. And so reviewing it, so you actually go in and go, right, at 90 days I'm going to review this. So you've got that set up to do that. And then you review it every month as well, did you say? And then every week and then?
Yeah, so then, you know, you've got your overall, this is what I'm looking to do. And then it's breaking those things down in terms of, you know, four lots of 90, you know, day chunks, which is every 3 months. Are we on track? What do I need to tweak? Because it's not saying that's set in stone. It needs to obviously have flexibility to move with what's going on. And then taking that and saying, right, what's now my monthly plan so that overall I'm looking to achieve those three things that we set as part of the year so that we remain focused, and then taking that into, you know, the three things for the week that will help me get there and the three things for today that will help me get there, so that we don't get as much stuck into I've just got to get the client work done today, which of course is important, pays the bills, but it's that balance of on the business and in the business.
Mm, and that's an important factor as well. So it's limiting. I know something that I do is just so that, right, this 2 hour chunk of time is for this, and this 30 minute chunk of time is for this, because, you know, one thing is, say, getting onto social media without a purpose, and the other thing is to get onto social media with a plan. And that's
absolutely
different.
Yeah,
different things.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that. That multitasking, you know, is not where we want people to be anymore. And we're seeing mistakes and people in overwhelm and confusion because there's just so much noise and so much going on. Whereas if we come back to a single-minded focus, as you said, for just these 2 hours, this is what I'm doing. I'm not checking email at the same time. I'm not checking my phone. I'm just getting this thing done for 5 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, then productivity increases because we are just focused on that. But we think we've got to be doing all these other things. And email in particular is a massive distraction.
Yeah, and look, it's just sort of made a little realization with me, because I've been on a massive learning curve for the last 9 months, and just huge. And a lot of it is to do with IT stuff and lead pages and teaching with webinars and creating automated systems within things. Now, that's not my forte. So it takes a lot of learning to get that, and I can do it, and I'm starting to understand how to do it as opposed to just doing it at the moment. And so this has been massive for the last so many months. And what I've realized now is that was one of the strategies for this year is to learn. So the other things can't be done. You know, I'm personally not running as many courses because you can't continue that learning thing while you're trying to, and trying to for people to recognize you can't keep pushing in all directions.
Correct.
So for me, this is a massive learning thing, and it's got to be put into place and practice. So that's part of my goal this year is to learn this new stuff and how to do that. So, yeah, that's given me a realization, because I had prioritized it and backed off a lot, but it's actually my intent or plan for the year.
And we have to do that, Janine, and it's hard sometimes to go, but we see it all the time that, and I know for myself, so I'm in the process of doing a very separate brand for when I work with registered training organisations. So a lot of time and effort is being put into just that website at the moment, and that is my only focus. And there's a whole lot of programs and a whole lot of stuff that's got to go as part of that. But in order to do that, it means that, as you said, you know, I'm not out there as much over the next sort of month or so because the priority was this. So we've got to understand that there's a bit of, you know, I always believe that you can't do everything without the tagline, which says unless you accept the price, because there's a price for everything. We've just got to make what those choices actually are. But the more that we are focused and say, if I put my energy and effort into here and do that, then it leads to this longer term strategy and plan, and obviously that's what you're doing, because you go, if I invest now, which is what we want, if I invest now in the systems, in the knowledge, in the learning, in the new product and service, it's to get me to the next bit, and mine's similar in terms of a different marketplace, and that's really critical. But there's a price that we pay for that. But if we're clear on that that's the right thing to do, then that's fine, and we won't lose focus.
No, absolutely. Now, yeah, and it's one of the things I'm focusing on is getting my second book written, but I know you've written quite a few books now.
two.
So tell me about your Five Little Pigs. I mean, how did that name come about? And how did you write them so quickly? The process behind it.
Yeah, so I wisely or stupidly, basically wrote two books in less than 5 months and got them published and stuff like that. So it was quite ridiculous in the big scheme of things, but there was a purpose behind it. So because I've been a speaker for a really long time and knew I needed a book, but I'm a person that if I'm going to write a book, because I do now, I view myself as a writer, but certainly didn't previously. I just talk and that's all great. So if I was going to write a book, it had to serve a very strategic purpose for the business, rather than just going, oh, I've got a book and I wasn't proud of it. And I'm sure you would be similar with that, Janine. It's got to have a purpose and everything. Mm-hmm. So as a speaker, I usually, you know, I like quirky titles and I do things a little bit differently. So I'd been thinking for a long time about sort of the three little business pigs and that's how we build our businesses, straw, stick and brick, and we start with a little bit and gets blown down and we start again and it gets a bit better and all that sort of stuff. And so I thought, I think I could work with that. And then when I started exploring that a little bit more, I realized that there was two other houses. There was the reno, because we need to get to a brick business. We need to put all of those solid foundations in, have clarity of purpose, know, you know, clients, all of that sort of stuff, and say, yep, we've built this solid foundation. But we can't just leave it like that. We then have to renovate, just like we do a house. You know, and there's reasons we renovate. We put a slap of paint on it, we add a room, we change things or whatever. And we have to do that with our businesses, because otherwise we'll end up being the fifth one, which is the rundown business, and we'll be like Borders and Kodak and all of that sort of stuff, because we know we have to keep innovating and not offering our clients that have been with us for a long time the same stuff, just looking a little bit differently. So that's why I wrote and started playing around with the book. And then I thought, well, there was a wolf. So who is our wolf really, you know, within ourselves, and who's trying to blow our businesses down, and have a bit of clarity around that. So the first part of the book was sort of, I suppose, easy to write in terms of the stages of businesses and reluctant business owner and all that sort of stuff. And then the end of it was easy to write, which was, here's some strategies to move from straw to stick, stick to brick, reno, and then if you're in a rundown business, here is some confronting things that you might have to think about to work out whether, you know, you actually want to keep your business or what you want to do. The bit that took me the longest was working out my methodology, which is how you get clear, my five steps to get clear on your business, people and systems. So, but the reason I was able to write the books, I suppose, a bit quickly was I had a deadline. Yeah. So what had happened was that in the November, my books got published in 2015, in the May. In the December, I was accepted to launch my RTO book in the May of that year. The trick was that by December, I only had 30% of one book written. Well, I had to write The Five Little Business Pigs, which is just for small business owners, first, so that I could then rewrite that specifically for RTOs. So January was just head down, bum up, writing. Sent the script off to the editor, and then spent basically the next couple of weeks in February taking that book, converting it into the RTO book, which has got all the business stuff, but then additions in every chapter about what this means for them and the different roles, because that's the niche that I've worked in. And then, you know, over the sort of March to May, and the books arrived just in time, and literally like the day before I was due to fly out, you know, they landed and stuff like that. So that's how the two got written quite quickly. So, you know, absolutely needed a deadline. I work really well to those. But it did certainly put pressure on myself and the publishing team to try and get them all done. And then the Business Pigs was launched officially with what is now Institute of Managers and Leaders, which was AIM, in the July.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's it. It does make a difference. Deadlines, doesn't it? When you get things done, an awful lot quicker.
It does, and I didn't want to be embarrassed. I mean, I had a backup plan because we were getting very close to the RTO conference deadline, and I still didn't have a book, you know, in my hot little hand. So the worst case was going to be just mentioning it and taking orders, you know, with it hopefully coming, but to actually have it there, I'm sure, like yourself, Janine, you have this baby and go, oh my God, I've actually done this. You know, I've written this book, and you take photos and people go, oh, how cool, and people call you an author and you go, oh, you're talking to me, right?
it's good. It's a fun process. Once you start, it's fun. I know I'm doing my second one at the moment, and the time factor is the issue for me, and I'm starting to have a deadline, so it's starting to push up the priority as it does. So, yeah, if we're going to look at some takeaway points with it, what would you like people to, you know, take away the most important points from the conversation?
Okay, so surprisingly, there's three, Janine. So the first is it's remembering that there's a system in everything. You just have to find it. There's a system in how you answer the phone, how you set up your website, what your sales process is. Absolutely every function within your business is a system. And the more that you're able to embrace for what many people go, oh, don't mention it. I don't want to talk about it tomorrow. You know, the more you can embrace it and understand that for most business owners, they do not invest time and money in developing their systems. And that's not only procedures, and it's everything within that. So if you do that, then you jump ahead of, you know, at least 80% of business owners, and it puts you on the pathway to success. So that's the first thing. There's a system in everything. The second is to have that, you know, honest chat with yourself and recognize, are you the reluctant business owner? And then embrace that and do what is needed in all facets of the business, or get someone else to do it or close the doors. And, you know, as part of that, think about who are the people that you need to help your business grow. Because, and I know you have as well as I do, Janine, we all have coaches. You know, those successful business owners have a coach. They often have multiples. And whether you call them a coach, a mentor, whatever word sits with you, I like the word coach because I come from a sporting background. But we all need someone external to our business to see things that we're too close to give us a different perspective, and also to give us that honest chat, a little bit of tough love for ourselves. So it's a massive investment. You might go, oh, I haven't got the money tomorrow. I go, yeah, but again, what's it costing you now not to have someone to bounce ideas off? But that will certainly propel you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about having a coach. And as you progress through business, your coaches tend to get more expensive because they've got more to offer you as you move through. But if you don't have, like, I'm so strong on this particular point.
Yep.
And even if your coach is listening to the podcast and it's free, and find a topic that there's YouTubes for absolutely everything, but that only can you a certain way, then you obviously need to get, you know, someone that personally knows you.
Yep.
But to start with, to absolutely. Make sure that you're getting some ideas from somewhere else other than out of your own head.
Yep.
That's going to be very limited.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, your mastermind groups, I've been part of those previously, or accountability groups. It's determining what you need within your business. So for my clients, they're generally with me for either they want accountability, and they want someone to keep them on track. Or they're in a state of, I can't even see the wood for the trees tomorrow, so I don't even know where to start. So it's chipping away at that. Or the third option that they're usually coming to me for, and again, I'm thinking, Janine, probably similar yourself, is, well, I want to grow the business tomorrow, but I don't know if I'm ready or where to start. And for some people, it could be all three that they're trying to do. But if you're taking on help, whatever that help is, again, clarity is important, because you've got to know what you want out of them. If you don't want accountability, well, then you've got to be clear about that. So, look, I'm just looking for some ideas at the moment. I'm looking for support. I'm looking for connection. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe not wanting to go to that next level, saying, right, I want a phone call every Friday or an email, whatever it is that works for you, but it's determining that within yourself of what's stopping you getting to the next level. And particularly when we work from home, as many micro businesses do, it can get a bit lonely. So, you know, having a phone call, going to networking things, being part of mastermind groups, accountability groups, all really good, even just for the social interaction, but more importantly, just to be hearing what everyone else is doing, going, can I adopt that? Can I adapt that? You know, how might that help my business is really critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And the third point?
The third point is to allocate 15 minutes a day, not negotiable, pretend it's a client, to work on your business, not in it. And I'm sure, you know, listeners might be going, well, Tamara, 15 minutes doesn't really do too much. What's the point? Well, if my math's right, that's an hour and a quarter that you weren't doing last week. And I believe in starting small, create the habit, and then increase to, you know, an hour a day or half an hour a day, and then to an hour a day. We've got to start in little bits, and the starting is the first bit. So, you know, allocate 15 minutes in your diary, and it might be, I'm just going to write my organizational chart with the positions that exist within my business, and then I'm going to write my name under every one of them because I do them all, right? But that's the most common question I get asked, Janine, is what is my systems framework? What should it look like? It looks like an organizational chart with every position. Your name is in all of them, and then you can say, right, what are the functions that currently exist under all of those positions? And now I'm going to start with the first one, because once you start with that, you're starting to build your processes and your systems throughout all of that. And then you'll say, and now, look, I've got a bit more cash. I can move to the next level. I'm going to get help with that, whether that's coach, bookkeeper, website, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. But that's really, a good place to start.
Really good takeaway point. I think that organizational chart, this is a great way to go. So now, if people want to work with you, how do they go about getting in contact tomorrow?
Yep. So they can head to the website, which is thebsi.com.au. I have my book up there. If you click on the book link, you can download the first three chapters for free. If you'd like to buy the book, and of course, why wouldn't you? Because it's a great book, even just for the story of the five pigs. A special offer for your listeners, Janine, if they put the code Janine, nice and easy, in the coupon code, they'll also get free postage as well. And I also have another offer, if that's okay, Janine, for your listeners.
I'm sure they'll be pleased.
Excellent. So if they would like to do a coaching session with me, I do those in 90-minute chunks. I'm offering six of those for free for your listeners. And all they have to do is email me, which is tamara@thebsi.com.au, and they just write yes please, and I'd see that comes from Janine, and I'd love to do that for your listeners, and give them at least one tip, but I usually come up with a few more to help the, you know, save time and money. And then I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, but as I said, I'm still, you know, on my old plates a little bit with those, but you can find me in all different ways.
Yeah, that's really generous, and that's going to be so much value to people that in their business, just sort of figuring out what systems they need to put in place probably and how to go about that. So that's really great. So to get in touch with Tamara, the website is thebsi.com.au, and the email address is Tamara at thedsi.com.au and to put in there, yes, please, in the subject line, if you want a free 90-minute coaching session. So that'll be for six people as they
mail
through, and I'm sure Tamara will let us know when that, when the six people run out as well. That is fantastic. Look, I've really enjoyed our conversation, Tamara, and there's just so much value in there for people to, you know, start thinking about working on the business, putting systems in place, and believing that they are a business owner and they can be a success.
Absolutely. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed the chat, Janine. And, you know, anytime you want me back, give me a call. Would love to talk specifically about, you know, systems or other things. But, look, thanks so much for the opportunity. And I hope your listeners have found that I've at least given them a point or two of, maybe, or, oh, yes, I need to be doing that as part of that process. But hopefully there's not too much homework for them. Hopefully there's more aha moments than homework.
I'm sure there is. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. It's with Tamara Simon, the Simple Systems Specialist. And saying that really quickly is really good. Known as the BSI. Thank you very much, Tamara. Thank you all much to the listeners. Please remember to write comments and share the podcast. It's great reading your comments and letting know what comes through. And please take advantage of that special offer. Okay, so listen, bye for now. See you next episode. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.